Coming up on Patriots This Week, leaders can handle the truth.
We've got to play a lot better than we played the first 2 weeks.
They are undefeated and unhappy.
I think there's a real urgency to what we do here. This is real football, and this is not tiddlywinks.
Familiarity can breed contempt. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers come to Foxborough Sunday after spending part of the summer here. The Patriots presume there will be surprises.
Then you got to expect the unexpected.
The coach knows these Pirates are trouble.
Yeah, they're fast and they're very quick. They're very explosive.
That's all right now on Patriots This Week.
This week, the New England Patriots will try to accomplish something they haven't been able to do since 2007, and that's win their first three games of the season. Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Patriots This Week. I'm Scott Zolak, and joining me each and every week during the football season, as usual, former tight end Jermaine Wiggins. What's up, Wig?
What's up, Zol?
Give me some. Matt Chatham, your way over there. Keep it for you. Former linebacker Matt Chatham. And guys, cold, hard football facts. You know, looking at what they've said, going all the way back to 2004, first time a Tom Brady-led Patriots team won a football game by scoring only 13 points. Your old teammate, you guys both played with him, I did too, Teddy Bruschi, said this team, this defensive team, can be like the mold of the one of 2001 when you guys went out and won that first championship.
I think it's a valid point, and I think that situation back in 01 was a little different because you're bringing the quarterback along. He's new. The offense might be tightened up a little bit, and they're going to expand as he gets better. The situation now is the quarterback is the guy, and the rest of the guys are sort of being brought along in this sort of growth stage. So I think it could be similar. I think in any stat, though, it always makes me uncomfortable with a two-game sample. I think the idea that, you know, last week's game was so weird on a short week with no practice and walkthrough, and some of the receivers you're using didn't even practice because they were injured. It's really difficult to really filter much from that game. So I would say let's wait and see, but it's pretty obvious this team can be a defensive-led team if it needs to be.
Jermaine, the schedule is what the schedule is. You play the teams you're supposed to play, whatever state your team is in. Why are they getting criticized so much for being 2-0 with a chance to go to 3-0 mm-hmm. by taking care of business?
Well, I think because most people that criticize them don't know what they're talking about. When you look at it, they're playing. They played against two teams that weren't very good offensively, but they did what they were supposed to do defensively to shut down those teams.
It's not good enough, though. But
I think at the end of the day, if you look at what they did against the offenses that they went against, they did their job defensively.
87 is coming back some point, Rob Gronkowski, and I think it is sooner than later. It might be this week against Tampa Bay. We don't know. It might be a game-time decision. That will make it easier for Josh McDaniels, won't it?
I think any time you have production from that particular position, especially when it's an all-pro kind of guy, it makes things easier. I think if you're reviewing last week's tape against the Jets, when you have zero to no production from the tight end group and zero to no production from the backs group in the passing game, you're going to put it all on a young wide receiver group. In what scenario is that ever going to come out well?
Let's talk to the guy who played tight end. When you're substituting guys, you see guys like Nate Solder going in motion, and in comes Marcus Cannon. Yeah. That tells me there's no depth at tight end. How much does that affect the running game, not having Gronk there? I'm talking good blocking tight ends where – really looked like he ran hard early in that game, then it seems like they got away from it.
Well, I think it affects the running game, but it also affects the passing game because Matt will tell you he's played defense. If you see an offensive tackle at the tight end position, you could pretty much cancel on any pass that they're going to throw to that tight end.
Or you squeeze things
down. Yeah, so you tighten everything down. You say, okay, they're bringing in a tackle. They're bringing in another big to help with the running game. There's a good chance that maybe they're running this side or they have a seven-man protection. I think when you have Gronkowski, what he's able to do because of his ability as a run blocker, he now creates the problem where defensively, well, we don't know whether or not it's run or pass because he has the ability to block most defensive ends in the league that are pretty big, and he has the ability to get out of there and make plays in the passing game. So the addition of Gronkowski is just going to open up the running game to the point where now they can do two things.
You know, when we look at Aaron Dobson and you hear the criticism all week, well, he doesn't catch the ball. We forget that's his first game. You know, it's Kimbrell Tompkins' second NFL game. Right. Matt, these rookie receivers, with Tom Brady and how Brady acted towards them, and I know there was some frustration in the game, they've got to get better here, right? I mean, it's only going to get better.
Of course. And again, all first games aren't equal. When it's also a first game where you missed the week prior because of an injury and you follow it with a week of walkthroughs, it's going to be worse. We can't judge it yet. We could just put pause on this thing and talk about it in November, and we'll talk about their development because that's the normal curve. I use this analogy a lot, but we're on the ground floor of the sausage factory. You guys are getting to see the process. The process is often ugly. The problem is now they have to lean on the process to get them to November, and that's why the defensive performance is so important.
What do you see out of this defense?
You look at the defensive line, linebackers, secondary. I think they're getting production from all three levels. And to me, that's the difference for this defense this year than what we've seen in the past, is you see production from the majority of the guys that are out on that football field.
Matt, because you face two rookie quarterbacks, do they get criticized because of the I don't want to say lack of competition at quarterback, but the inability of guys to really, you know, play at the next level?
See, I think the biographical program stuff is sort of irrelevant, especially with EJ.
Big words, especially, right there. I have no clue what he's talking about.
I know bio. So
keep going.
Biographical, fellas. You guys,
right there now.
You can get it. Anyway, what you need to do is sort of throw that stuff out. The program stuff is irrelevant. EJ Manuel has already had two games under his belt and has looked as polished as I think his rookies ever looked years and years ago, maybe in week 8 or 10. He's there already. He's had two really nice weeks. So he looks like he could be something. Geno still looks a little raw, so I think that's a fair criticism. But the notion that, you know, you game plan around these guys, so it's not how do I control rookie quarterback, it's how do I control a mobile quarterback. How do I control a mobile quarterback in the Jet situation that has not a ton of weapons around him? So it's game planning. It's not
– let's not give him a cheap 30-yard run up the middle on a 3rd and 5 where everybody's
in man. It's not scroll to the end of the box score and how many sacks did I get.
That's what people do. That's what fans
totally do. Irrelevant. It's this stat misunderstanding of the game of football.
Aqib Talib, 2 picks against the Jets. You watch him through 2 weeks. You know, we saw him second half of last year. They're going to be able to do some things defensively if this guy can stay healthy.
When you look at Talib and you look at, and we've said this before, that swagger, that confidence that he plays with, you see it starting to rub off on other players. And I think Talib is, he's a good enough player that he can lock down a lot of guys. He's physical, he's big, he just has to make sure he gets up there and plays to his strength.
Well, I don't agree that Talib's a lockdown guy. I mean, you have 10, 11 games of tape now. He hasn't done that yet. What he is competitive, and he's a bigger body, so he gives you a different way to match up.
But you don't think you could put Talib on the other team's best wide receiver, and maybe he's not going to be a Darrell Revis.
You might want to check the film on
that. He might not be Darrell Revis, but I think he could still do a good enough job.
Well, they did that, I believe it was in San Francisco, and there was like a 10-catch game. They did Andre Johnson the first time. It was like a 9-catch game. There's no shutting anyone down, but that doesn't mean it's not good.
He contained on
it. Yes. Well, let me finish the point. So I think that the notion here is that you have a guy who is a better matchup, a tougher matchup for a big body. He doesn't stop people. He's not an elite corner, but he's a very good corner, and that's what you've always liked here, guys that work well together. Dennard has shown great ball skills. Arrington has a knack for the football, and Talib's always been a playmaker, so he's going to give up receptions, but he'll inevitably make plays. So I think that's just really a good mix for a nice secondary group.
Good stuff, guys. Coming up next, we'll take a look at some of the surprises around the league after week 2 when Patriots This Week continues.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots. By Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new dumpster in a bag can take it on. And by Putnam Investments, proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence for 75 years.
This week's Putnam Player Spotlight is on Aqib Talib. The 6'1", 205-pound cornerback helped key the defensive effort against the New York Jets. The 27-year-old forced a fumble when his foot knocked the ball from Stephen Hill's hands, giving the Pats the ball and negating a big play by the Jets. He also had 2 interceptions. Since being acquired by the Patriots, Talib now has 4 interceptions in 8 regular season games. This week's Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence for 75 years.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week here inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. And guys, we got to talk about the Miami Dolphins and their start. I think one of the surprises, and not that we're surprised that they beat the Cleveland Browns, but they go into Indy this week. And, you know, Andrew Luck was talked about a ton with RG3, Russell Wilson. We all forget Ryan Tannehill was in that class. And Ryan Tannehill, through 2 weeks, has outplayed all of that younger class that he was drafted with. What do you make of the Dolphins, Wiggy, and where they are?
I think when you look at Miami, they're a good team. They, you know, defensively is probably their strong suit. what they want to do. But I think Tannehill he's done a good job. The addition of Mike Wallace, that's going to help out. That's going to make things a little bit easier for him. But I'm still not sold right away on Miami because they're still the Miami Dolphins. I know you play for them. So
no, I mean, I don't like the new logo. I like the old logo. I like the old look with the little more orange in the uniform. But, Matt, I want to talk about their schedule during the week. Joe Philbin, their head coach, has done something different than the other 31. And I always thought the rule you're off day in the NFL had to be on Tuesday. The Miami Dolphins have a new approach this year. Thursday is the off day.
Sure.
How can you work that schedule where you have a tough day, then you have an easy day?
Someone else got this one?
I mean, I don't know. How do you give guys in Miami and South Florida Thursday off, full well knowing Wednesday night they can go out down there?
Beyond that, just to answer the question.
It breaks up your week weirdly.
It doesn't make sense to me. That doesn't mean it couldn't be good. I don't want to be against something that I haven't tried, but I'm curious to how your body responds because it's not so much that days are off or days are on. What are they doing on the on days? If they're banging on Monday and Tuesday, probably not on Monday, but if Tuesday's a physical day, I kind of don't get that.
It's weird because you don't know your week schedule because in the NFL, you're trained.
We're creatures of habit.
Wednesday's your full-on day. Right. Thursday's still a pretty good day. Friday's more of a goal line, red zone. And my whole thing is, how do you now incorporate your Wednesday if you're playing on Sunday? It's just
the only question is what's going on on Tuesday.
Tuesday is their Wednesday. So Tuesday is their full installation.
Wednesday is their Thursday?
And Wednesday is their Thursday.
Is it a real Thursday? Because you know on Thursdays we would still hit.
Yeah, that's my point.
You know what I mean?
They don't do that anymore.
Yeah, that's my point.
See, this guy would be all out of sorts. If they change the Easty Olympics, Friday, man, you'd be all out of sorts.
I'm all out of sorts just talking about it.
I'm more than happy to try something, but we'd make a determination after going through it, right?
One more trend, I think. You look at other teams that expected to be in the playoffs or at least in the playoff hunt, teams like Pittsburgh, teams like Washington, the New York Giants, the G-men, all sit there in 0-2.
If you look at all three of these groups, you actually have three pretty stable NFL franchises. This isn't like, Cleveland or whatever. This is the Steelers, who I think we feel good about what Tomlin's going on in there. He's had two rough weeks and hasn't won. He has some injury issues himself. I think the Giants, to me, would probably look like the best chance to get back. The only problem with that case is they've had 7 picks from Eli.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you really hurt your chances. I just presume that he'll get that out of his system. But in the event that they continue to turn the ball over, I don't care what the start of 0-2 is. You're not gonna be able to figure it out by the end of the year.
All right, guys, speaking of 0-2, the next team coming into Foxborough is 0-2, and they could easily beat 2-0 just by making another play here or there. We talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers when Patriots This Week continues. All right, obviously, Tampa Bay Buccaneers coming to town 0-2. A lot of turmoil down there with head coach Greg Schiano and his quarterback, Josh Freeman. So how do you get a quarterback going on the road? You go to the running back, Doug Martin. I'm telling you, for all you fantasy fans out there, you got a big 6'5" quarterback, hand it to the little guy. We've seen Darren Sproles be able to do this. You get teams in man coverage, you get a back like Doug Martin here who could split it. A little motion this way indicates coverage for him. More importantly, indicates the front. They get a little lead play, a little cutback. Everybody's got to stay home. Patriots have done a really good job through 2 weeks staying home on that backside for that cutback with some of the good backs in the league. Doug Martin's one of your better backs. So you better make sure you find out where number 22 is at all times. He could cut it. He could go the distance. And that's what scares the heck out of me because I'm okay against Josh Freeman. We could defend him. We could play coverage. But the running back, Doug Martin, he's the guy that could pop it. And there's your Zoe Show.
The Zoe Show is brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week here inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studio. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers guys come to town. This is a team we did see in the preseason, saw the preseason game. Also saw a really good week of intra-squad scrimmages between each other where you get a lot of good looks. Does that help the team when you prepare? Say Bill Belichick's sitting there. You got all that on film from preseason. Does it apply after 2 games, Wiggy, when you look at it?
Well, I think what it does, it helps you personnel-wise because now you've seen this guy in practice. You can kind of...
They didn't have Revis then. They got Revis now. That makes a big difference.
Yeah, no, that's true. But I think the Patriots know Darrell Revis well enough to know what he is. But as far as the other guys, you've gone against some of these players. You get to know some of their strengths and weaknesses. I think that's what the inner squad practices do. And when you see them early and you've practiced against them, you know what certain guys like to do because every guy has their go-to move, or they have plays where they struggle, and I think that's the part that's going to help out.
Matt, you look at them, a lot of turmoil over these 2 weeks. Revis kind of uncomfortable with the way Shiano runs his practices, and he wants to play more man-to-man. Freeman, whether or not he's his quarterback, inconsistencies there. How much does that help New England?
Yeah, I don't think that has much to do with anything.
No? Okay. Throw it out the window.
The podium stuff, yeah. Well, I think the issue, sort of to piggy on your point as far as getting to see one another, they have what's interesting is because Tampa does so much movement on the defensive side of the ball, and we didn't get to see that. You got to know him, but you don't want to get comfortable in that it's going to be like I saw him last time because the scheme with him is a little goofy. So it's really going to be a tough mental week, I think, as much
don't
as
don't you think take a guy like Doug Martin out of the game plan, and you guys, you've been in meetings before, and you face a really good back. Focus on that guy. Put the game in the hands of the quarterback. This is a penalized team, 23 penalties through two games, a little undisciplined. How much is that playing to your favor?
Well, I think when you look at this team, and I think when you look at them being so undisciplined, I think it actually does go back to how some of these guys are feeling towards Shiano in that locker room. I've been part of teams that the coach, a lot of guys didn't like them. Mm-hmm. And so you start to kind of feel
what
like
was that?
You guys hated your coach, right? You hate your coach.
I'm dead serious. In Minnesota, there were a lot of guys that didn't like Mike Tice as a coach. And so you start to get that dissension in the locker room and guys start talking, and that affects you on the field. And so when you look at this team coming up, if you could say, all right, let's put everybody in the box. We already know Freeman's kind of ticked off a little bit, and we'll put the pressure on him to win the football game. And he goes out there, throws a couple picks. He might be thinking, oh, is he now going to sit me? So, yes, I think that you're going to see some of that rubbing off in this game.
9 sacks the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have generated through 2 games. And if Gronkowski does not play, don't you kind of test that edge to try and get to Tom Brady's backside?
You know what? I don't know about that, because the more teams pressure Tom, the quicker the ball gets out of his hand. And when the ball's coming out quick, they're not making downfield decisions at the top of the stem of routes. Mm-hmm. The side adjust stuff is a lot easier, I think, than trying to figure out what route you should run 15 yards down the field.
But
so
I think
that helps him.
But it's also tough, too, because where have these young wide receivers struggled? Getting jammed up on the line of scrimmage. So if you don't have Gronk and you want to get on the edge, you know, if they're struggling at the line of scrimmage, it kind of takes that quick game away. And we've seen Brady and, you know, in some of the games look to one wide receiver, that guy getting jammed up. Now he's looking for somebody else, and he starts, okay, somebody please get open.
Right. See, I think,
if you have that edge pressure, ultimately you'll get to him.
I think Kimbrell is actually better when you press him. I think he's
I do too. I think
go ahead and press him. Watch Cromartie. He struggled keeping him on the line. So I think they'll welcome that. Dobson, I think you're right, and that's not his thing. But you know how you cure that? You allow him to be the off-the-ball guy. Let him be the X, let him pull off.
Do that with Randy. Randy would have trouble getting off the jam. He's got that second gear. That's what I see.
It's an easy way to keep him free. So that's
all right, guys, good stuff. Coming up next, our picks, plus our game changer, little wrinkle that we're going to do this year, pick one player. And I think with the Patriots and how it changes every week on offense, it's going to be fun. Our picks are next.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam, celebrating 75 years of service to financial advisors, their clients, and institutions worldwide. Bose, the official sound of the New England Patriots. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
It's week number 3 of the Fantasy Lowdown. I'm Brian Lowe. Get Josh Gordon into your starting lineup. After a 2-week suspension, the Cleveland wideout will be targeted early and often and will produce after the Browns scored just 1 touchdown in their first 2 games. I say sit CJ. Yes, the Bills' CJ Spiller, an explosive back, but a tough matchup against the Jets' run D. And this week's sleeper extraordinaire, Carolina's rejuvenated running back D'Angelo Williams up against the G-Men.
The Fantasy Lowdown is brought to you by Verizon. Stay connected to your Patriots at home and on the go with Fios Quantum Internet and NFL Mobile from Verizon. That's powerful.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week, and it's time for prediction time. And guys, remember, got to pick a game changer, a guy goes above and beyond expectations, somebody you wouldn't expect, and give me the score. Let's start with you, Matt.
Well, I'll go game changer first. I believe it's going to come from the defensive side of the ball. I'm just presuming that for at least 6 to 8 weeks out here. I'm going to go with Jerod Mayo. I think the guy is a ball hawk. I think he's always punching. He's always making a play. And it's going to be a nice little competition between him tempoing the ball with Doug Martin. And my score, I'm going to stay modest here as well. I'm going to go with 23-13. I think these scores are going to be in that range.
These points are coming down.
For at least a couple months, we're going to go that route.
Probably popping for 45. What do you got, Wiggy?
Exactly.
Well, when I look at it, my game changer, I think, is going to be the tight end position. And I don't know who that guy is going to be, but Revis is
way to be bland.
Revis is complaining. They said they're playing way too much cover two. And how do you affect cover two down the middle? Right. I like the Patriots in this 24-17.
All right, guys, I'm picking this score 24-16 in favor of the Patriots. Notice how that number's also coming down. My game changer, Stephen Ridley, didn't run the ball real well last week. Point of emphasis this week, in come the Bucs. That's going to do it for this edition of Patriots This Week. For Matt Chatham, for Jermaine Wiggins, I'm Scott Zolak. See you next week at the same time. Thanks for watching Patriots This Week.
Quick hitter, Brady with a play pick and an open. Aaron Dodson down the right side. Headed to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!